Welcome to the Production First Mindset, a podcast where we discuss the world of building code from the lab all the way to production. We explore the tactics, methodologies, and metrics used to drive real customer value by the engineering leaders actually doing it. I'm your host, Liran Chemovich, CTO and co-founder of Rookout. Today, we're going to be discussing some of the latest and greatest open source projects in observability. With us is Dotan Horowitz, Principal Developer Advocate at Logzio.
Hey, Liran. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Dotan, welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So, my name is Dotan Horowitz. I'm a Principal Developer Advocate at Logs.io. I've been a developer for many years, then a system architect, a solutions architect. I've even been a product manager for developer tools and platforms and cloud orchestration. And I'm also very passionate about open source and communities. Today, as part of my work at Logs.io, my main focus is around observability and DevOps related open sources in general, and the CNCF, the Cloud Native Computing Foundation in particular. I co-organize the local CNCF chapter here in Tel Aviv. And I also, shameless plug, I run my own podcast called the Open Observability Talks. So for listeners who like a podcast here, maybe they want to check out around open source, DevOps, and observability.
So you seem to be knee-deep in open source at the very least, and I'm kind of wondering, how did you get into open source? There aren't that many people around here in Israel who are focusing so much on open source.
Yeah, so I've been passionate about open source for many years, since my early days as a developer, working as a user with open source tools and platforms. I think the main point in which I actually got involved in open source was back when I worked at a startup called Cloudify. That's a cloud orchestration platform. And as part of that, we established a local community for OpenStack. Back then, a very, very hyped private cloud platform. And since then, it really stuck with me and drove me later on to things such as CNCF. That's the, for whoever doesn't know, that's the foundation where Kubernetes is, and many other, Prometheus and many other open source activities. I got involved in the DevOps Days community here in Tel Aviv and many others.
You've mentioned CNCF. I think today CNCF is fueling much of the cloud native revolution, and open source is a big part in making cloud accessible for everyone, whether it's private cloud or public cloud. And I'm wondering, what the role do you see open source is playing in observability?
So I think in observability, there's a very, very important role there, because essentially everyone today is running a cloud-native architecture, microservices, Kubernetes, Docker, and so on. And many of the traditional tools that have been around are less applicable. And then again, people turn to the same open source community that brought us Kubernetes and others is now finding us the solutions on how to monitor these environments. So things such as Prometheus that's under the CNCF and others are natively integrated into Kubernetes and the cloud native environment. And this is why it's really booming. And you see that also in the numbers. You see statistics about 60%. I think I saw analyst reports 451, Gartner talking about 50, 60% running of the companies running open source observability stacks and monitoring solutions. So, and it's not just young, startups such as Rookout and others. It's also well-established enterprises. People approach me from government agencies and from banking and, things that you wouldn't have heard of back in the day, now running open source in their stacks. Even when I used to work at Amdocs, which is a large enterprise, when I joined there, you wouldn't hear about open source. And by the end of my tenure there, they were already involved in ONAP and open source around the telco clouds under the Linux Foundation. So it's really everywhere. That's amazing to see that.
Today, what are some of the more interesting projects when it comes to open source observability?
Interesting projects? That's a very interesting question, because it depends on the interest areas. I think that I mentioned before, for example, Prometheus. It's an amazing project that gives a way to collect metrics which has become really a de facto standard. There's a derivative project of OpenMetrics, which aims to standardize the exposition format. It's spun out of Prometheus, but it stands on its own right. It's actually being submitted as its own standard under the IETF currently. So a standard way to converge the industry in a way, how do you actually report your metrics in a standard way so that you're not tightly coupled to a specific vendor, a specific format, a specific tool for gathering and analyzing this data. So Prometheus is very interesting. OpenTelemetry is a fascinating, more about the gathering and collection. Jaeger on the distributed tracing side. Lots of interesting projects around observability, open source and observability.
Yeah, lots of stuff. So let's take OpenTelemetry. I think it's one of the highest profile projects out there today. Kind of, there's been a bit of history there, and I'm wondering what's your take on where OpenTelemetry stands now?
So there's lots of history. I don't know if the audience knows that it's originally a merge of two preceding projects, the Open Tracing and Open Census. It's been extremely active. It's today the second most active project in the CNCF, second only to Kubernetes itself. So it's very, very impressive. And you see all the major players out there gathering around that. So, and that's for me the greatest testimonial for, you know, saying that this probably is set up to success, because you know you see all the major cloud vendors, AWS and Azure and Google and others. You see all the monitoring and observability vendors like us, you know, Logs.io and Splunk and New Relic and whoever. So that's very, very encouraging. And also in terms of maturity, it's still an incubation project under the CNCF. Let's remember that. Just a few months ago, it's been graduated from the sandbox to the incubation. The tracing portion of OpenTelemetry, maybe we should say a few words about just to align the audience. So essentially, it's a framework for generating and collecting telemetry, largely traces, logs, metrics from any system, you know, application code, infrastructure components, Kafka, cloud services, whatever, and then sending it to whichever backend you want. So OpenTelemetry doesn't really care about the backend, so it's a way to standardize just a portion of generating and collecting the telemetry. And each signal has its own evolution or its own path. So tracing is the most mature one. It's it was GA'd, become generally available this year, which means that this is already ready for production. And what we're about to see is metrics getting to GA. That's the upcoming announcement that should be very, very soon. And logs is the least mature of the signals. That's where OpenTelemetry currently stands.
Mm-hmm. What's the vision of OpenTelemetry trying to bring all of those three pillars together into one project?
I think let's take a step back to where we came from as an industry. So we've been, for many years, we've been in a situation where people deployed agents and SDKs and collectors and whatever that were provided by vendors. So you had the Dynatrace one, the Datadog one, the Splunk one, whatever. Lots of intelligence there in the agents, no doubt about it. But you go to the point of the fragmentation. So for each piece, for each signal, maybe for each source, you needed a different tool to gather, maybe even to generate. If it's your own source code, you know, you have a Java app on the back end, and you have, I don't know, Node.js on the front end, and if especially polyglot organizations and things like that. For each one, you needed its own thing. And it wasn't talking the same language. So that's a challenge that we were at, and this fragmentation is aggravated the more the architectures become elaborate. So people today, typical architecture has many, many, I don't know, databases. You have your SQL and your NoSQL and the graph database and the columnar database, and you have your API server, and you have the HTTP proxy and many, and each one becomes so diverse, and that impacted the way that you collect telemetry. And that's essentially the problem that OpenTelemetry comes to solve, to provide one unified way of collecting that is independent of your backend. So removing this tight coupling between the backend analytics tool and the generation of the and the collection of the telemetry, so that you have one way and one specification across programming languages, across SDKs, across sources, that this way is the way So I have one SDK, one API, one SDK to collect all the telemetry, traces, metrics, logs, that's a vision, of course, from your, let's say, Java and your Go and your Node.js and whatever. One way to collect it, one way to communicate it over a protocol, because an essential part of OpenTelemetry is also an OTLP, which is a protocol that ultimately should be one unified protocol across the different signals. And then you send it to whichever backend you choose to do your analytics.
Interesting. Now, speaking of backend, I know you're super active in the OpenSearch project, which is one of the most popular backends today for processing observability data. And it's also one of the most recent and high-profile rifts today in open source. Can you share with us a bit about that?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting activity, that a project that has emerged during 2021. It started off from constraint. We were all heavy users, including, you know, my own company, logs.io, heavy users of the Elk stack, Elasticsearch, for log analytics. And one day, Elastic, the company behind it, just decided to relicense it to a non-open source license, SSPL, that's called. And that created a dilemma. For us as in the industry, for my own company, and for many others, we all find ourselves in a question, okay, what's the path forward? Some were cared less about open source. For us, it was a major importance of keeping these projects open source and enabling the community to carry on and contributing and making this successful path forward. And that what ultimately brought about a fork, a simple fork of Kibana and Elasticsearch into OpenSearch project. It's called OpenSearch and OpenSearch Dashboards, respectively. And we have, luckily, very major stakeholders involved, primarily AWS, and my company Logs.io is involved there, and many others. So there's a vibrant set of vendors and community members to back it up. Since then, it's evolved so beyond the mere fork of Elasticsearch and Kibana 7.10. Something into a fork. Since then, it's been enriched. So first of all, AWS contributed their open distro for Elasticsearch, which is a rich set of plugins that was originally designed for Elasticsearch, was adapted to OpenSearch. So that brought about lots of features on analytics, on security, on many others. And since then, there have been quite a few enhancements and expansion beyond log analytics into things such as tracing, such as APM-related, and a broader observability. So a very promising-looking project that we're backing.
What's the maturity of OpenSearch? Should people use it in production environments?
So it's already GA. It's version 1.2 at the moment. So so starting 1.0, it's been GA. It's been on a regular cadence of releasing versions, minor versions, every few months, expecting, I think, in August, if I remember the roadmap currently, at the 2.0. So yeah, it's definitely ready for production. There are already quite a few players out there that moved their production environments from Elasticsearch to OpenSearch, including Logs.io and many others. So it's looks like it's there. And then again, lots of new feature requests that we're getting to enhance it even further and make it even more suitable for many other use cases.
Mm-hmm. So what are the key features you see that you already have or that you have upcoming compared to Elasticsearch?
There are quite a few angles that we're exploring beyond the simple, first of all, on the basic levels of managing clusters and sharding and things like that. There are lots of activity around these areas. And also, as I said before, exploring beyond the mere, log and search capabilities into showing observability, for example, collecting things such as events, entities, observability signals, collecting tracing, being able to show and visualize things on the OpenSearch dashboard side of things, enrich the data set with metadata, lots of activity around that.
Mm-hmm. From your experience, why do users make the transition from Elasticsearch to OpenSearch? What are the key reasons?
I think the loyal community of Elasticsearch was impacted by the relicensing move. and many felt discomfort carrying on, especially since no one guarantees that that's the last we'll hear of it. So I think the lack of solid ground underneath your feet, especially usually Elasticsearch is a central component of your mission critical part of your system. So when you feel this lack of stability one time, you're now being cautious going forward. And by the way, there were steps that came afterwards, like changes to the client libraries to provide all sorts of checks of the backend Elasticsearch cluster and disabling the client libraries that are also open source. And by the way, are still Apache 2.0, but with these checks, it renders them ineffective to work and breaks the compatibility, including, by the way, all the versions of open source Elasticsearch. So users of Elasticsearch pre version 7 and before, even they got some break of compatibility. So things like that make people think future proofing their system, think, okay, how do I make sure that I keep on serving my business goals and not being juggled by these sorts of announcements. That, I think, coupled with seeing major vendors like when AWS says I'm putting an army of developers there to enhance it and take it forward, that gives a sense of trust. You see a very transparent roadmap showing where we're heading. All the way, and it's, by the way, it's public, all of that, of course, on GitHub, all the roadmap going forward. I think these are the main things that drove people to consider the switch.
And you've mentioned that at Logs.io, you've also migrated to OpenSearch. In general, I think much of what you're doing at Logs.io is open source focused, right?
Yes. Logs.io, and I guess that's the reason that pulled me to this company, following my passion for open source, is that what's unique about Logs.io is that we provide a cloud-native observability platform, or SaaS, but it's all based on popular open source tools. So the log management part, for example, has been for years based on the Elk stack, and now we're moving to OpenSearch. And the infrastructure monitoring piece is based on Prometheus, and the distributed tracing piece is based on Jaeger, which is an open source under the CNCF, and so on. We use OpenTelemetry for the collection side of things as the best practice. So it's an underlying theme, and it's part of our mission statement, let's say, at Logs.io. And that's why for us, it was not just part of what's easy for us to implement when I talk about the transition to OpenSearch, not just about what's easy, but also as part of what we communicate, the guarantee that we give our customers that whatever open source that they're accustomed to, even running your own do-it-yourself type of stack in their own systems, will just provide a compatible thing just without the headache of running, managing, scaling, upgrading, whatever themselves, but as a managed SaaS.
So as a company, you're essentially hosting and serving those open source products so anybody can benefit from them without having to host them themselves. So kind of, what's your focus from an engineering perspective? What are the key values that are driving you forward?
As I said, first of all, making the open source accessible in the easiest way possible for the users, that's the baseline. And also keeping track of what is the popular open source tools, because things change, like the change from Elasticsearch to OpenSearch, like the rise of Prometheus, so Jaeger. And so first, understanding what will serve best our users, because this is what they're accustomed to and this is the best open source out there. And then the second piece is finding the gaps in the open source, because open source projects by their nature are very focused on the core capabilities of the problem they come to solve, but less about peripheral things. So companies that run this open source in production at scale have other peripheral concerns. You need to make sure of compliance, you need to make sure of security issues, you need to make sure of user and role management, things that the open source tools are usually less mature on, because it's not the core business. And then what we come as Logs.io is to provide this wrapper around the open source that provides all the administrative aspects, the security-related aspects, the compliance, all of the things that, the organization or the customer does need to take care of these on top and build it, develop it in-house around the open source to get this maturity level. And then on top of these amenities, we have additional layers around adding intelligence. So adding AI, machine learning type of analysis of the telemetry so that we can, let's say, provide recommendations and personalized based on the specific account, the specific organization's type of handling incidents, being able to correlate things intelligently between the tools. Because imagine if you have Jaeger separately from OpenSearch, separately from Prometheus, that's fine that you have all the three, but the purpose is to have one unified observability platform, which also means that they need to talk between themselves very seamlessly. So being able to correlate and jump from one to the other, transitioning the context of the search. So you start from a metric that suddenly spiked, and then you want to say, okay, I want to see related traces to that metric. I want to seamlessly transition and have all the, you know, time frame and some parameters and filters switching over to the other product, to the Jaeger, so to speak, but without you having to copy paste it. So the correlation between the products and creating this aggregated alerts and so on. This is the, I guess, in high level, what we try to achieve on top of the open source.
Super interesting stuff. So before we wrap this up, there is one question I've been waiting to ask you. One question I ask all of my guests. So what's the single bug that you remember the most from your career?
For me, the highest profile bug that the recent years it was actually at Logs.io. This is something that I remember most because it resonated well in terms of the importance of distributed tracing and made us realize how important this new pillar for us, as it was a new pillar back then, to observability. So we had a bug with a very low, you know, a high latency in one of our front-end services that we couldn't figure out. And we were masters of logs, obviously, logs.io and metrics, and we couldn't find the reason. And it was inconsistent in some calls, similar calls, apparently, but ones were low latency and ones high latency. We couldn't find the reasoning behind it. And, you know, we got lost in the logs. We had lots of logs and we're very experienced with logs, but we couldn't do that. And then we resulted to tracing. And, you know, very simple instrumentation of just 3-4 microservices on the front-end side, on the Node.js side, which sounds like very few, got us to the root cause very, very quickly, finding ultimately, you know, one caching issue of one single key that was not cached and resulted in going to the backend database to get to fetch it. And it was only keys of context that only specific users used. So it was inconsistent in terms of not every call had to go to the backend. So being able to see the trace end to end from the front end call all the way down to the backend database in one trace across a request, that was what convinced, I think, us as an engineering organization to adopt tracing as part of our standard practice in observability, and obviously to push us further to make it a solid pillar in our observability platform also to our customers.
Cool stuff. So, Dotan, thanks very much for joining us. Can you share with us some more details about your podcast?
Yeah, so the podcast is called Open Observability Talks. I'm actually glad to say that now we're recording it in December, end of 2021, and it's being on the finalist for Best DevOps-related podcast of the year of 2021 by DevOps Dozens Award. So I hope that you hear that on time to vote. It's now public for voting. But the idea is essentially to talk about everything that is open source, DevOps, and observability. I have guests from that are maintainers of open source projects such as Prometheus and Jaeger and OpenTelemetry and others, as we talked. I have guests that bring the user perspective, like senior SREs from Google and others. So it's very diverse. And the idea that is that to learn about practices, tools, and tips for running your observability based on open source at scale.
So if you're interested in hearing more about observability, definitely go and check it out. Thank you very much, Dotan.
Thank you very much, Leon. Glad to be here.
So that's a wrap on another episode of the Production First Mindset. Please remember to like, subscribe, and share this podcast. Let us know what you think of the show and reach out to me on LinkedIn or Twitter at Production First. Thanks again for joining us.